Welcome to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm your host, Rachel Lowenhertz, and this podcast is your portal into yourself, your place in the world, and how you desire to show up as you. This is a place for you to be sovereign, to make change, to master your destiny, and create a life that's crazy aligned with who you're meant to be. But who is that? And how do you manifest her? Enter, my love, and discover. Hello, and welcome back to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm so happy you're here today because we have a very, very special guest here to join us to talk about healing new mothers. We have the beautiful Amber Frauenholz with us of Amber Dawn Wellness. She also happens to be one of my dearest friends and soul sisters. And she and I went through our motherhood initiation together. And we experienced many of the same challenges and identity shifts. And we've had kind of similar paths that I think will resonate with many of you. So I'm going to read a quick intro for Amber, and then we're going to talk all about what that shift to motherhood is like, some of the challenges that moms run into that are typical but not necessarily normal, and ways around that, because these are things that can affect moms many, many years after having their kids. So Amber is a certified NTP, a nutritional therapy practitioner. She is a Disney World fanatic, and she's the mom of 5-year-old James and 3-year-old Griffin. And she is passionate about helping new moms avoid both the nutritional depletion and the stress that comes with giving birth in our culture today. And for those mamas listening, I'm sure that this will hit home. So Amber, thank you for joining us. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here today too.
And Amber and I met when we were pregnant with our boys, with Gideon and James, our now 5-year-olds, and we had the same doula. And we actually had our boys 2 days apart. James was room 13 on the 13th, and Gideon was room 15 on the 15th with our doula, Kim.
Yeah, I sometimes forget about that, and it's just like such a fun fact about us.
It really is. And the funny thing is that we weren't super close friends at that point. It was really after we had our sons and we went to the same breastfeeding group, support group, and we really connected. And then we ended up in this, I think the first women's circle for both of us, which was called Sacred Motherhood. And Amber actually invited that to me when our boys were about one.
Yeah, that is like one of the groups that really sort of changed the course of my life and also brought like amazing friends in. And there's just so much power in, you know, the gathering of women and sharing sort of their experiences and hearing other voices. And it was just an awesome experience.
It really was, because I think at the time you and I both felt very isolated. And I think this is a very common experience for new mothers, that suddenly your entire life changes, your entire body changes, your priorities completely shift, and you don't really know who you are, and nobody's really talking about that.
No one talks about it, and you're not really prepared when you're pregnant to experience sort of that complete shift in dynamics with all of your relationships, with your relationship to your prior life, like your jobs or like whatever else that you're doing. Everything just shifts, and you have to sort of like rediscover what it all means to you again. And that is so isolating.
It really is. And I know it was incredibly profound for us to be in that sacred motherhood circle, because it was like for the first time we were with other women, other voices who had the same experience as us. And we just didn't realize.
Yeah. And it was also the first time that I sort of was presented with tools that I didn't know were always available to me to get in touch with my own intuition and sort of listen to the body feedback that I was receiving, and how to work through difficult emotions and those kinds of things. And that's kind of why we're both here today, to talk about those tools and the mindset work that we've done, because it was such an impactful time in my life. And I'm so grateful that we came together and were able to do that.
Yeah, it's really huge. And I think that pregnancy for a lot of women is really the first time that we get in touch with our body, because suddenly we're hyper aware of everything that's changing, every movement the baby makes. So we're just paying attention in a way that we didn't before. And then once we have our babies, we become a lot more sensitive. We need so much more care than we needed before, because we're called upon to support so much more life. So I always like to pick an inquiry at the beginning of these interviews, and I'll let you see that for our listeners. And I love the one that you chose.
Yeah. So the inquiry is, what is your body trying to tell you? Yeah. Mm. What is your body trying to tell you? Because every signal, every symptom, every type of feedback that you receive is a message, and you know, you can listen to it or not, but when you listen, then that's a profound experience. Mm.
I love this one. And I think that this is so big, because our body talks to us about a lot of different things, and they're not just physical things. Many of them are emotional. Some of them can be spiritual. A lot for new mothers are nutritional. And it's interesting, because when we start to use those messages as a portal, there's so much potential for massive healing and transformation, and simply potential for what we can achieve once we move past some of those blocks.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you start to listen and uncover what is that root cause, or what is that, what is it that your body is craving? And then you can actually give it or provide it whatever it needs, and actually start your journey to feeling better. So feedback in all areas is so powerful. Mm.
I love this. So we're going to talk more about that in a little bit, because you have massive, massive wisdom to share, both around being a mother, being a successful human, and then specifically around supporting the postpartum body. But I want to rewind a little bit to who you were before you had your kids, because what you're doing now looks really, really different than where you were 6 years ago. So tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to keep it short and succinct, but you know, it's easy to get long-winded. So cut me off and ask questions, Rachel, if I go on a ramble. But I was similar to you. I was a corporate working mama, and I worked in software. I was really extrinsically sort of motivated. I wanted to make the money. I wanted to have the titles. That's sort of what I believed my self-worth was attached to, is how much I could achieve. And I liked that life, actually, at that time. You know, it was fulfilling. I was with my husband. We were sort of like living that fun, married with no kids life. And then along came pregnancy and having babies. And, you know, during pregnancy, I was always sort of like health minded before. My husband and I dabbled in all kinds of diets. We like to try different things. We leaned sort of like a paleo lifestyle back then. And anyway, so we had a great pregnancy, and I did all of the baby prep. I did all the newborn care classes, made meals to put in my freezer, things like that. But, you know, people can tell you that it's going to be hard when you have a child, or they tell you you're not going to know what to expect. You just have to get to it. But you just don't really internalize that message until you're there. And it's different for everyone, the experience. And for me, my postpartum experience with my first son, James, was a slap in the face. It was a huge wake-up call, in that I just felt completely ill prepared for any of it. Nursing was just a total nightmare. James had additional hospital time he needed. There was 6 weeks down the road, he had to have some surgery to fix something in his eye. I mean, it was just like one thing after another. And I just was not physically or emotionally prepared to withstand the beating that I took, essentially. And
that's a good way to describe it, if I can interject for one moment, because when I was hearing you describe your life before kids, it sounds a lot like my life. You know, we got the A's, we went to the good school, we married the right guy, we bought the house, we had the kids, and it was honestly pretty easy for both of us. Not that we didn't work hard, but it was straightforward. It was predictable. We were following the path that we were supposed to follow, that everyone, our parents, our teachers taught us was the path. And then suddenly, we became mothers, and overnight, literally overnight, something massive shifts. And it is like a slap in the face. It's a beating to your body, of course, because that's just birth. Amber and I both had natural births with our boys, and definitely felt like a beating. But emotionally and mentally, it's like somebody ripped off a Band-Aid, and instead of a healed wound, you have like this gaping hole that you didn't even know was there.
Yes. And looking back, you know, now I feel like there's a word that we can use to describe the experience that we went through. And I love this word. It's matrescence, which is like the transition into motherhood. You can think of it like adolescence. It's such a similar time in life where, you know, everyone can relate to adolescence. You have crazy hormones all over the place. You're trying to figure out who you are, what it means to be the, you know, that person. You're kind of depressed, you're anxious, you're worried about what other people think. And matrescence is like very similar. So your hormones when you become a mom are all over the place. You all of a sudden don't know who you are anymore because you have this new mom identity that's kind of like hanging out there, but then you have the person that you were before and you don't know how to marry the two. And then you have this intense pull towards this newborn. You don't know what to do with that like instinctual mama need to protect, but yet you also want to pull away and you want to go back to your old life. And that matrescence is just like such an intense experience, and it's not talked about at all. Like when you're pregnant, I heard nothing of the sorts.
It's not talked about. And I think the harsh, but also beautiful truth of it is that it's like a death of the life that was before. It's an initiation into motherhood, but at the same time, there's this grief around losing the ease that was in your life before, which you kind of knew was coming, but you didn't realize how much of a shift it would be. And then also losing some of this identity, because when we think about marrying the two, yes, there's some stuff that will stay. There's a lot I find that just falls away for women. Things, you know, that we thought were important, elements of ourselves that we really clung to, the way that we label and define ourselves, that suddenly just don't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this huge emotional storm happening in your mind during that time of life. I mean, and it can be any time in that first year, really, or years past that you're feeling that like unsettled feeling. But when you couple that with the marathon that you ran to have your baby, and maybe if you were nursing, that is also very depleting on your body. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not getting enough sleep or giving your body the nutrients it needs, then it becomes nutritionally depleted. So then you couple that with feelings of that emotional stress, and you really have a recipe for just feeling terrible. And that's where I was after James. And I think you also experienced a similar thing, right, Rachel?
I did. And it was interesting because for me, you know, I was expecting, oh, if I get postpartum depression, it'll happen, you know, in the first few months, the baby blues. But for me, it was actually around when Gideon was 10 months old that it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I remember literally the day that the straw broke the camel's back, and suddenly it was like this cloud settled over me. And I had been breastfeeding for 10 months at that point and working and running a consulting practice. And, you know, I went back when Gideon was 12 weeks old, and it was like the marathon continued, and I didn't really take that respite. And I absolutely ended up with nutritional depletion and just postpartum fatigue.
Yes. Yeah. And when your body's not getting what it needs, then it essentially turns on itself, right? So it's going to look to other areas of your system to sort of make up for the imbalance. And that's why you see these mental health things pop up, because there's other imbalances, there's root causes there that aren't being met. And you get that sort of like brain fog creeping in, or you start to feel a little bit depressed. But you also have that whole idea of matrescence too, like hanging out in the background. So it's really just this perfect storm of motherhood that you're sort of lost in.
I love that. The perfect storm of motherhood. And I think that many of us do feel lost. And it was interesting because I think that was the point for both of us where we joined our sacred motherhood circle. It was that point where we were in the eye of the storm, and we finally took a breath to be like, I need help. I can't do this alone. And there has to be another way to live.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that the Sacred Motherhood group was a catalyst. It was a huge turning point for both of us in our growth. And I am just so grateful that we were able to do that together.
Yeah. So you mentioned the word catalyst, which is one of my favorite words. So, you know, you were this successful corporate woman, powerhouse, your life was easy, You become a mother overnight, the perfect storm grows. And then you reach a choice point, you reach a catalyst. So tell us a little bit about what shifted, because I know you went back to the corporate world and that only lasted for a year. And then you decided to follow a different path.
Yeah. So, I'll talk about the catalyst that led me to quitting my job, because there was one prior after James where I just was like, okay, I got to focus on nutrition and get myself healthy again. And I did, I was able to do that. But then when I got pregnant with my second son, Griffin, that was a surprise. And I had it in my head that I needed more time. Like that, I thought more time after birth would be what would prevent me from feeling the way I did after James. And so I was, first I have to say, just so incredibly lucky, super extremely privileged to work for an amazing company who let me take a year off of maternity leave with Griffin. And during that year, I dubbed it like the year of me. And I just did so much for myself while taking care, obviously, of my amazing little newborn. I listened to podcasts. I read personal development books. I went out and I had coffee with friends. I just really poured into myself. And I was the happiest that I have ever been in my life. And then I went back to corporate America for another year, like you said. And almost immediately when I stepped through the door, I knew that I was not the right fit for that anymore. But I still tried to make it work. And I kind of slowly saw myself deteriorate over that year. I started to gain weight. I started grinding my teeth at night. I couldn't, talk about my job like verbally with anybody because it would make me too anxious. I just had a high stress like corporate job. And I had kind of like hit a breaking point where I just realized like, wow, I changed. I'm a different person, from who I was when I enjoyed this kind of stuff. And I don't think that this is my path anymore. So now I think I need to do some exploring and figure out what the heck is it going to be.
So how did you figure it out?
That's a really great question.
It's interesting because hearing you tell your story, and obviously I was there witnessing this whole journey, but there were clues along the path and there were nudges that took you in this direction. But when you got to that choice point, like how did you figure out what that path of purpose would look like for you?
I wish I had like a nice packaged answer that I could offer up to you. But it was just like you said, it was such a long journey full of like small points here and there. For one thing, during that year and prior, I've always loved health and wellness. And I saw for myself the power of eating food that supports your body to feel good, right? Because that's what happened after James. I was depleted. I changed my diet. I reduced my stress and I felt better. And so I had this like passion for health and wellness. And then I also had just experienced this life-changing event of becoming a mom twice and knew that, the marriage of those two things was really important. And I saw, in the industry, in the marketplace, like there's just not a lot of support for new moms in that way to help them reduce their stress, help them, replenish and feel good again. And I kind of just like had that inkling for a long time. I didn't know what to do with it. So I started doing some of the quote unquote, like woo woo things, pulling Oracle cards, journaling, trying to explore like what my intuition was really trying to tell me. And it always pointed me towards going back to school to get my nutrition certification. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I'm a big believer in like breaking things down into the smallest possible little actions that you can think to get them in. And I just started taking these like tiny micro step actions in that direction. And eventually I was on the other side and I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner. So that's like the story in a nutshell.
And honestly, that was a beautiful package. That was perfect. So to recap, you had a couple of these difficult experiences that forced you to figure out a solution for yourself. And both times that solution was health and wellness combined with these crucibles, these moments, experiences in life where we are heated under high heat and we change. And for you, that was motherhood. It was motherhood and it was self-healing. And, You know, I think that intuition is really the foundation. Well, it's the foundation of the feminine way, you know, the masculine way, which you and I both thrived in corporate world, is make the business plans, follow the plans, and hit the predefined goals. The feminine is to look within and listen for that inner voice to see where we should go. And I love how you've kind of woven that together in your life, because it really is important when we're looking for a path that is soul driven. So not necessarily driven by the expectations others have of us, the expectations we think we should have of ourselves, but the path that is truly impetus by a soul calling, the answer always comes from within. And it does take time. It does take time. You know, I think there is no silver bullet overnight solution to finding your soul's purpose in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, I think like, just as time went on, I became more and more passionate about this idea of mothering the mother. And I feel like I didn't necessarily get that experience, especially with James. And that was the one of the pieces that was missing for me, is just like feeling nourished, feeling like I was being mothered. And I kind of mothered myself after Griffin, to be honest. And so that's what I want to do with my life. Like, that is my sole purpose, is to mother other mothers and help them feel like themselves again, or find themselves again. And I know you have a similar purpose. Mm.
That phrase, mothering the mother, is so powerful right there, because I think that as women, especially women who are ambitious, who have succeeded in our careers, we kind of grow up with this belief that we should be the martyrs and we're supposed to do all of this by ourselves. We were not raised with the belief that women support women and it's okay to ask for help, and that doesn't make us any less valuable or worthy. And I feel like this idea of mothering the mother is so powerful, because it all comes back to me to the idea of sisterhood.
Yeah.
Of sitting in that circle with other women who are not just co-creating with you, not just supporting you, but they're wearing all of those hats, because we're wearing all of the hats anyway. And we have such potent wisdom. We just aren't trained to create containers to support each other with it, to mother the mother, because we need that. I mean, motherhood is hard.
It's so hard. It's so hard. And just because it's common right now to feel depleted in early motherhood, it's common to feel burnout, that does not mean it's normal. Like, we are not supposed to feel like that. You're not supposed to be chronically exhausted. Yes, having a baby is hard work. And yes, you will be tired. There'll be days where you got no sleep. But when you like cannot get out of bed, when you don't have the energy to get through your day, and then you lay down at night and you can't fall asleep, that is not normal. And it's not a badge of honor, even though our culture says it is. And, you know, way, way back in the day when we all helped each other out, you know, there was helping hands. There was a tribe around you. There were other women to take on your burden. And I just want to flip the narrative again, you know, and get it back to the way it once was. Mm.
Yes, because for most of human history, you know, we did live in small villages. There were grandmothers around, and mothers mothering the mother, you know, the new mother wouldn't cook for herself. She wouldn't clean for herself. Childcare was collective. I think that in some ways people are waking up to the need. I think COVID really shined a light on how under-supported mothers are, especially working mothers today. But it's going to be slow to shift. I think that where we're going to see faster shift is where these circles of women do begin to support one another. And that is part of my sacred work, is training these women how to do that. How do you go from being like the type A go-getter who is successful before she becomes a mom, to someone who is fully resourced so they can operate, you know, at that high capacity, but in a soul-driven way, while still doing all the things, because we are so many things once we become moms.
Yes, totally. I love that so much.
Yeah, it's important, because, you know, I got an email this week from one of the parenting newsletters that I'm on, and it was written by a dad, and I loved this. And he talked about the mental burden that moms carry, and how even when dads are, you know, sharing half of the childcare duties, so often the mental burden of keeping track of the things, scheduling the appointments, just having all that stuff running through your head, it falls on the mom. So we end up being like our own personal assistants and chefs and, you know, housekeepers and CEOs and moms and partners. And it's so much. And we're so chronically undersupported doing it.
Yeah. Yes, I feel that so intensely. And that's what I see in my clients too. It's just like the common story. And yeah, I do think COVID just made it, it's just shown a light on an existing problem. And I'm hopeful that, you know, we can be a part of the change, like ride in front of the wave and help sort of like lead the charge.
Yeah, because I think that there's this systemic challenge on one hand, but also there's a conditioned challenge as well, which is our innate resistance to receiving help and to asking for help. And I know that for me, when I became a mother, that was one of the biggest barriers. And it's one that I'm really only starting to move past now. But I remember Dan, my husband, kept telling me to hire a night nurse so that I could get some sleep in those early months. And I was like, no. You know, it needs to be me with the baby. Oh, it's too expensive. Oh, I can't ask for help like that. I can't ask my mom to stay overnight and stay up for a night. And it really did me a disservice, you know, and now I'm looking back and I'm like, why the heck didn't I do that? You know?
Yeah, same. I mean, oh man, hindsight is absolutely 20/20. There's lots of things that I would love to do, but that's why we've lived the experience. And so now any woman that I work with, I'm going to be encouraging them to do the things that will reduce the stress, the overall stress load, to help them preserve some of that energy and vitality that just kind of goes away when you're so drained and depleted.
Yes. So tell us a little bit more about what you are helping women with right now, because I feel like this is a journey that's so important and it's one that can affect us for many, many years after having kids, especially if it's not addressed early.
Yeah. So of course, the business of having a baby is extremely burdening on your body, right? You've got to build the baby, you got to carry that baby for 9 months and then run the marathon of birth. And then if you're going to nurse, you've got to produce that breast milk. And that requires a lot of nutrition. It requires a lot of energy to produce all of those things. And once you're sort of through the marathon, you need to replete all of those things. Otherwise, you're never going to feel like healthier, you know, vitality, like get that vitality back again. And so that's really what I work with women who are in that phase of their lives, like 0 to 3, 5 years postpartum. I mean, postpartum depletion is what we're talking about here. That can impact anyone if they're not repleted after they have a baby. So when those nutrients aren't repleted, like I said earlier, your body is gonna try to counterbalance and take things away from other areas in your system. And that's when other health problems can arise. You might start to feel, you know, get that brain fog or anxiety or depression might crop up, or just chronically exhausted. You can't sleep. You might gain weight, or you're unable to lose weight. Those kinds of hormonal balance symptoms, that's going to be very, very common in someone who is not repleted after having a baby. So I work with women on the nutrition side of things to make sure that they're getting what they need. So it's not necessarily a story of restriction where, oh, you can't eat this or that. It's a story of addition. So what do you need to eat in order for your body to feel good again? You can still have all the other stuff, but let's just make sure we're getting the nutrients first. Then, you know, maybe supplement protocols depending on the person. And then there's this whole idea of sort of stress management and what does that really mean? And that impacts, you know, sort of all areas of your life, from the types of movement that you do, from this idea of finding out who your identity is again, or holding your energetic boundaries on your calendar, those kinds of things. So it's really sort of a mix of health coaching and nutritional therapy.
Yeah, and it really all ties together, because when we think about the stress management, you know, when your body is stressed out, you can't even absorb those nutrients. So it really is a bigger, more holistic problem than I think many women realize. And, you know, there are lots of women that struggle to lose the weight that they desire to lose after pregnancy. And so much of it, yeah, it's hormonal, it's stress related. And these are the hard things to address.
They are the hard things. Yeah, absolutely the hard things to address. But it's funny because the more I do this work, the more I see that it's the small things that have the biggest impact, right? So you don't actually have to completely, you know, change everything all at once. You can pick just the smallest, highest leverage action, choose that, go with that, and you're going to get benefit from it. And then you build up momentum and sort of get your flywheel spinning. You add another layer and add another layer. And eventually you're, you know, you're to that desired reality that you imagined. But so that's really what it's all about. It's just choosing the smallest possible items that are going to have the biggest impact and going from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that comes back to what you were saying earlier about the micro actions and the fact that transformations take time, journeys take time and patience, and they take incremental shifts. You know, I think that in our society, everybody wants a 12-week fix to their problem. You know, in the entrepreneurial space, we see like 90 days to $10,000 a month. And sure, it's possible, but is it sustainable? And I think that certainly when it comes to restoring the body, you know, it's a practice that I think is so much more tied to the rhythms of the earth and our natural innate wisdom, because these things have seasonality and they do take time.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree with you there.
So I'm curious, now that you have been doing this work for a while, how does it feel? And how does it feel in comparison to your pre-motherhood career?
That's such a hard question to answer because I can't even compare them. It's so incredibly different in that I feel like I'm excited to wake up in the morning. And before, there was dread. And now there's joy. And that is like, that is it. Before there was dread and now there is joy. I guess that's the best way to put it. I feel amazing. I love doing what I'm doing. I love supporting other women. It's just like the most fulfilling work ever.
I love that. What a contrast. And I get it. You know, I think that we fall into our careers and our jobs for many reasons, and they work for us in different seasons of life. But I think when we start to use joy as our litmus test, it really shines a light on what's coming from our soul and what's coming from expectations or conditioned beliefs or our upbringings. And I know for me, it's a very powerful litmus test, because joy is, I mean, it's a sparkly emotion. You know, it's like we all need a little more sparkle in our lives.
Yes. And that's really sort of like the lightning strike that I feel like I got when I became a mom, right? I all of a sudden was divorced from the outcome and more engaged with the current moment and wanting to have as much joy in the current moment as possible. And that is my why. So that's my guiding light. That's how I lead my life, is if it's not fun, then how do I make it fun? Or how can I find the joy elsewhere? Because what's the point if it's not to have a joyful life? Like, why are we here? You know, if we're not here to experience life to its fullest. So that's what I try to remind myself when things get hard. I mean, I'm not perfect at it, obviously, but that's the guiding light.
Absolutely. It is definitely a guiding light. I feel like that's so true for life, for motherhood, and then also for business as we bring our sacred work to life. Because, yeah, there are a lot of things that we could do in our work that are not joyful. And I definitely find that when we follow the joy, we find greater success faster and with more ease.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so grateful to you for sharing your story, because I think that this journey is one that so many women walk and it's not really talked about. You know, I know that today people change careers a lot during a lifetime. I think it's more accepted than it was before. But I love how your journey went from corporate to this beautiful idea of mothering the mother, because that, I mean, that's true healing for the world right there. And I'm curious, now that you're kind of on the other side of this, you know who you are, you're doing the work that you're called to do. If you had to pick one piece of advice to give the women who are really just setting out on this journey, or maybe they're kind of in the goo of that transformation, what would it be?
Yeah, so I think I thought about this a little bit, and I want my advice to be, stay focused on your own journey. That's all that you can control. So stay focused on your own growth, on your own journey. I really too often see these types of journeys disrupted because you try to take people with you. And you can't always take people with you. You know, your partner, whoever it may be, like, they have control over their own choices. You have control over yours. Focus on yourself and it will impact the others around you. And that is, that's going to be key. So just focus on yourself, improve yourself, and see where it leads.
That's so potent, Amber, because I know that one of my power leaks is often trying to use my own joy, my own energy to heal those that are around me. And I've seen this crop up with my husband. And you're right. We can't propel anyone else on their journey. We're only in control of our own. But when we raise our own vibration, it just naturally resonates with everyone around us. So it creates that shift without even trying. So I love that advice, especially for mothers, because I think that we take on so much responsibility as it is, particularly within our families, that sometimes it's nice to just have the permission to take a deep breath and focus on ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. It's okay for you to be the number one priority. In fact, that's what I recommend. I think you need to be the number one priority because, yeah, you can't fill others' cups unless yours is full. So couldn't agree with you more.
Yes. So, so important. So to all those listening, you have permission to receive and you have permission to prioritize yourself because you have to. You have to. You're already supporting everyone else. So you got to support yourself first. So when we think about support and kind of living this life of the divine feminine CEO, what is the power practice that you do daily that you cannot live without?
You, Rachel already knows what I'm going to say, but I have to journal. I journal every morning. It doesn't matter if it's a weekend. It doesn't matter where I am. I have to journal. Otherwise, I just don't feel right. And so I do that first thing in the morning. I try to wake up before my kids. I know when you have very small children, that can be very hard. But I wake up for my kids and I just brain dump all of the thoughts out. Or if I'm working on a specific thing, like right now I'm working on my money mindset, so I might journal about that. But for some reason, just getting the thoughts into my hand onto paper is a very powerful thing for me. So that is my power practice.
I love that. Yes, I too love the journaling. I love to journal on specific inquiries, but certainly when I'm stressed, and I think I learned this from you, I do love that 10-15 minute exercise where you just kind of pour everything out. And it's interesting because I find that it typically takes until about minute 10 before the stuff starts bubbling up from the subconscious mind. So, you know, you kind of have to like commit to it for a little while, but it's really, really powerful. So I love that. Well, tell us a little bit about where people can find you.
Yes, I would love for any listeners to follow me on Instagram. It's amberdawn_wellness. And you can find me at amberdawnwellness.com.
Amazing. Well, I'm so grateful that you came on today to share your journey because you continue to inspire me daily. And I'm so lucky to have you in my life. And I know that everyone listening is going to be really grateful for hearing your journey and your wisdom.
Right back at you, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
All right, my love. Thank you again. And thank you all to those who tuned in today. If you have experienced any of the symptoms that Amber described, I really encourage you to look within and see if maybe you do need some more support, because it's not only okay to receive, it is necessary. And I know that it's something that many of us struggle with, which is putting ourselves first, particularly when we have so many demands upon us already. So I urge you to reach out to someone, whether it's Amber or someone else, because you deserve the support. And with that, we will leave you and we'll talk to you soon. Bye, my loves. Thanks for joining me on this journey to sanctity, sovereignty, and sustainability. You bring such joy to my soul, and I want to hear from you. You can tag me on Instagram at uncorporette or email me anytime at rachel@uncorporette.com. I love to hear from you and I create for you, so please reach out. And finally, if this episode was meaningful for you, please leave me a review. This is how others will find the podcast. And as you know, it's my mission to activate the divine feminine CEOs I know will change the world. You're one of them, my love, so thanks for being here.